You are now listening to the hottest true crime podcast in the streets.
Hello, and welcome to an affirmative murder minisode. We are coming to you from the past. Ooh, France, spooky sound. Ooh, we're coming from the past. Ooh, spooky sounds. I'm currently, hopefully, in Paris or somewhere overseas and alive and doing well, hopefully. This is kind of...
I hope you're alive.
Yeah, it's actually kind of weird to do this. I don't know. Who knows what the future holds? Hopefully, I'm fine and everything. And, you know, there's no weird news articles about me that have happened. I didn't pass
plane
away.
Disappeared mid-air.
Yeah, I didn't end up in the Bermuda Triangle. And we decided to... we wanted to have something while I was gone, so we decided to put together a mini-sode. And if you're interested and you want to send emails in, please feel free to jump on the train, and we'll be doing more of these mini-sodes on Patreon, and then eventually I'm sure we'll leak out some of those out into the world, like this one. So this is almost like a little taste test, a little sampler of a mini-sode. And so we're very excited. Fran, without further ado, let's go ahead and hop into one of these emails, huh?
Yeah.
This is a tale from the hood. You know, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people. AffirmativeMurder@gmail.com. We want to hear any kind of crazy stories, you know, brushes with weird characters from your neighborhood, from your part of town, from your country, personal experiences, secondhand experiences, whatever. AffirmativeMurder@gmail.com. First one we have is from Yammy. Okay. The email starts off with, "Hello, Alvin and Fran." Hello,
hi.
Yammy. Hello. Hi. Hello. How are you? I hope you guys and your families are all doing well. Yeah, fine. Yeah. We're doing good. We love you all. And speaking for a lot of people there, we love you all. And we are glad that you have an opportunity to listen. And we're glad we have an opportunity to listen to you all every week. My favorite part about Mondays with the heart emojis. Mm. Thank you so much. Down to business. I have very small snips of hood stories.
Okay.
For the first half of my life, I lived in South Central L.A. But then my parents moved me to Lame, Indiana, side eye, the Hoosier town. And a Hoosier is a what, Fran?
I don't remember.
Just a person. It's just a human being.
Oh, yeah.
Very disappointing when we found that out on the show.
That's why I
just forgot. It's so forgettable. I thought it was a dog or something, at least. It's just a person. You're the Indiana people. Fuck out of here. Not you, Yammy. I'm sure you love. Well, she said side eye, so I don't think she loved Indiana that much. Anyway. She said, "Look, it's not awful. I met my husband and his wonderful family there."
Okay.
Or here. So she's still there. She said, "He's white. And as an adult, I see why my parents moved. Like I can afford housing and enjoy some, quote, luxuries. But I get a side of racism with my green beans at the local eatery."
Mm.
Rolls eyes. "But now I just take it as a challenge and say, watch this brown girl rise while your racist ass stays down." Love it. So back to South Central LA. The block I lived in had a small sector of a much larger gang. My parents did an amazing job at always keeping us sheltered and away from most of it. Mm-hmm. So I only have tall tales on the gang activities.
Okay.
So not personal experiences, I'm assuming she means. Back in 1992, when we first moved into the neighborhood, the gang was involved in many altercations, and we consistently experienced drive-bys. I recall many occasions of having to duck down on the floor as a 7 or 8 year old. Anywho, around 2000, Y2K, LOL, the city placed a giant chain link fence on one end of our street to create a dead end. Then the stories began.
I do have a question, though. Did they do drive-bys in, like, convertibles? Didn't they do, like, in the 90s? Wasn't it, like, a 90s thing?
I'm sure they did drive-bys in all kinds of cars. This is a very West Coast, California.
I'm sure.
It was a very, whatever you're picturing in your head, boys in the hood and all that type of stuff. This is that time.
Yeah, convertible. Yeah.
Everybody's wearing flannels and khaki pants. And like bandanas and sunglasses. It was very much all that stuff was going on. They were in the tank top underneath with the one button at the top.
Right.
So fool. There was one story about a local gang grabbed a hold of one of the leaders of a rival gang, tied him to the back of a truck, and dragged him back and forth from one end of the block to the next.
Damn.
Stating that all that was left of him was some muscle and bones.
What?
Who? Yeah, geez. That reminds me of an episode of The Boys, actually. I have never been able to corroborate this story, but let's just say that all the drive-bys ended after that day. So they took the leader out, did some fucking foul shit to him, and then they were like, peace. Yeah. Peace and love. Let's just dead this.
Yeah.
The second hood story I have is about Grandma Betty. My neighborhood was mostly brown, Spanish-speaking folk, but had a few black people that lived in the neighborhood, mostly older folks. Most of the drive-bys were over black versus brown issues.
Hmm.
I can't speak on now, but the tensions were always high between our races. And
really,
she said, I hope I use the correct terms here. I don't know, but I understand what she's saying, so that's fine. But Grandma Betty was the exception. She didn't have any family in L.A. Her children and grandchildren all lived in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama.
South.
Okay. Yeah, the South. So I have no idea what made her stick around, but she was such a beautiful soul. She would always sit out on her porch and indulge us children in neighborhood in the neighborhood with candy and stories about back in the day.
I can picture this lady.
I really wish I can remember one of those stories, but my young mind did not retain any of the wonderful stories. What I did retain was the respect the gang members had for her. Again, she was black and all the gang members were brown teens in feuds with black gangs. But I remember this one occasion, two of the gang members were out fighting in the middle of the street. They kept going back and forth for a minute. It was getting very close to midnight, and when things turned very serious, they ended up pulling guns on each other when everyone around them started hollering and crying, asking them to stop, but they wouldn't listen until someone went to Grandma Betty's house and got her to come out. That woman stood in between both of the barrels of those guns and looked both those two boys in their eyes, then yelled at both of them, "Go to fucking bed. I am an old lady that needs her sleep and does not want to deal with your shit." The boys put their guns away and their heads down and tails tucked between their legs. They just simply walked away.
Mm.
The whole crowd dispersed. And just like that, she made these tough men feel like the boys that they were and sent home to bed. The power this woman had, incredible. We moved away in 2002 and unfortunately never got to see her again. She passed away in 2008. Rest in power to such a wonderful soul. Such a long-winded short, but I hope this helps you guys. I am excited to hear stories from all over America, LOL, and all over the world. Thank you guys for continuing to provide us with such a diverse platform. Oh, we're getting a little big ups, friend. Such a diverse platform. Never give up, because you guys are stars.
Thank you.
Hey, she's hey, my kids, my parents, my husband, and everyone I can talk to about y'all knows you are. Take care. Deuces. Yammy. So shout out to Yammy, man. Much appreciated. Thank you for sending an email. We much love and appreciation to you. We appreciate all those kind words. Got another email, Fran.
Okay.
This one.
I wanted to speak on you brought up that show The Boys, right?
The Boys, yes. Love The Boys.
I know it's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
And I only break this up because I watched the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Of the first season?
Of the first episode.
First episode.
Mm-hmm. Somebody was obliterated by a bus. And I haven't seen
No, you're wrong.
That's not what happened?
They were obliterated by a person.
Oh, it was something
he
like
that. He ran so fast that he blew through their body. Yeah.
I was like, I can't watch this right now.
Oh, it's got.
I gotta be. I wasn't in the mind frame.
No, nah, like, and he got the blood off. Got all on the guy.
I gotta.
That was his girlfriend.
Had to cut it off. Yeah. Like, I'll come back to this because it was too fast.
I was in. That was all I needed to see.
I was, but I was like, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not in the mic.
You should go back. It's got. That's nothing.
I want to watch, but I'm just like, I'm saying.
Yeah.
I was like, you were like,
I wasn't expecting this. I just was trying to eat my cereal really quick. I just
to beast.
Yes. Blood and guts and shit. And then he just ran away. Yeah. No, that's the first episode. Yeah, you should go back, watch that because you thought it was a bus.
Oh, shit.
So you should go back and start from episode one.
Whatever it was.
See that again. His name is A-Train.
He's annihilated.
That might be why you mix it up. He's A-Train. So he's not a bus. He's a train. He's a person.
Whatever it was.
He's so fast, he blew through their body and that's exploded them.
I was like, yeah, I got to come back to this.
Yeah, you should.
It's too much. Too fast.
You definitely should. He was too fast. He was so fast that he obliterated a human being. Yeah, he was very fast. So another email. Cool. This one is from Courtney Z.
All right.
The title is, I'm convinced I met the Gilgo Beach killer.
Gasp. I don't know who that is.
Me either, but we're going to find out. Hi, Alvin and Fran. First of all, love you guys. Love you too, babes. My mouth's dry. I couldn't do a gunshot with a finger point. That's what I'm doing. Shout out to you, Courtney. Sorry, that was
gross.
Sounded gross, I'm sure. I've gone through some shit in the last year, and although I know it sounds cliche, what happened? What did I do?
When people read stuff, you think it's going to say this, but it's like, the beginning was like, yeah.
I'm getting ahead. I'm trying to get ahead of it. I was like, this just the year. I was like, your whole life. Was, no, just this past
that
year.
Was funny.
I'm sure she's gone through some shit in her life too, but she's gone through some shit in the past year. And I was like, yeah, life. And that's how I finished that sentence. We are not on the same wavelength, me and Courtney. I'm like, there's no jinx. Well, no, we're not getting jinx. I don't know what the fuck she's saying. I thought I did. So the past year, and although it may sound cliche, listening to the two of you talk has been great. I feel like I'm sitting with two friends having a conversation. Anyways, let me get to the good part. Like the email subject says, two of my coworkers and I are convinced we met the Gilgo Beach killer. Mm. Again, I don't know who that is. And we might not know by the end of this email. We might have to do some research.
Right.
I'm 31 years old and have lived on Long Island my entire life. I grew up about 10 to 15 minutes away from Gilgo Beach, going there every summer with my family growing up. Sorry, let me get to the point of the story. It's okay, Courtney. We're all good. I work a summer job a few beaches over from Gilgo. I'm a bartender outside and inside. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a bartender outside and inside. There should be a comma there, Courtney. I don't mean to be a nitpicker, but I'm a bartender outside, comma. And inside there's a concession stand type of area to order to-go food.
Okay.
I came into work one morning around 10, and the younger kids who work inside were a little freaked out about something that happened earlier that morning. Mm. This font is so small. I'm trying. They told me this older man came into to get food, and while he was waiting, he randomly asked the girls if they had heard about the Gilgo Beach killer. It's a weird conversation starter, yeah. But you know, I don't know if they're near Gilgo Beach, maybe, I don't know. Might be conversation. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to talk about killers at 10 o'clock in the morning. They're younger and were in middle school when the bodies were found, so they both replied, no, not really. He then proceeded to tell them all about it, like exactly where the bodies were found and about a lot about the girls who were killed.
He's giving all the deets.
He's just going all in, and I'm trying to...
zoom in?
If I put it in a separate file, I could probably... I can make it through it. I got it. So he was
pinch,
he won't let me pinch and zoom, no. So he's telling them all the details and everything about how the people were killed. I know these are all things that can easily be Googled.
But it was that morning though, right?
Yeah. It just was in the moment. What she's saying is, I don't like that he's telling these kids all this information. And she's like, I know that they could find the information on their own, but he doesn't need to be telling them the stuff about the murders and where the girls were found and all that stuff. That's what she's saying.
Oh, so the shit happened.
I know it's a public information, but he doesn't need to be telling these kids this information.
Oh, so the shit happened a while ago.
Yeah, I guess so.
Happened the day before he was.
I don't know anything about the Gilgo Beach.
How can they Google if he's the only one that knows what the fuck is going on?
No, I guess it's public knowledge, but she doesn't think he should be telling. This would work a lot better if we knew what the Gilgo Beach killers were.
Yeah.
So we'll do better, Courtney. Sorry. We're not the true crime encyclopedia that everybody else in this genre might be. We don't know all of the stuff. Sorry. We don't Gilgo Beach. I don't know. Anyway, Courtney, I love you to death. Don't know you. I love you to death, but man, you gotta use 12 font or something. Something's different's gotta be done different the next time. Next time you send in an email, please use bigger font. This is my eyes hurt. So she goes on to say about, you know, why would you do this? These kids are younger. Why bother with the weird shit like that with these details? They were a little weirded out, so they gave him his food. Like, bye bye, have a good day. He then said to one of them, you know what I noticed the most? All of the girls had a beautiful smile. Just like yours. Terrifying. That's terrifying. These poor girls were 16 years old and freaked the fuck out. I told them it was just some moron and that if he comes back while I'm here, come get me and I'll ask him to leave. Later in the day, while I'm outside, one of the girls comes out and tells me that the guy from this morning is back. He wasn't inside, though. He was making his way to the outside bar. He comes up to me, orders a drink, and goes to sit down at one of the tables. He leaves. That night, he comes back. Oh, this is. I would think these guys here to murder somebody. He comes back, tells me he lost his phone that he thinks is here. I told him I didn't find one, sorry. At this point, I wasn't sure if he was drunk or a mess or whatever, but something was up. He asked me to call it, his phone. I didn't want this creep having my number, so I used the store phone. Good call. Someone answers. I explain where I'm located and that this is that this customer lost the phone. The man on the other end seems confused and tells me he lives in Gilgo Island. Gilgo Island is a private island that you need residents to get onto. Now I'm confused and a little weirded out. The man on the line gives me his address and tells me the man can come get the phone. I asked the presumed killer if he was on Gilgo Island as that's where his phone is. He seems hella confused and is sort of rude about it. Like, what? No, I didn't go there. So, like, this is where the murders happen. You're asking him if he's been there. He starts freaking out. So this guy's an absolute weirdo.
Yeah.
And my eyes hurt.
I'm guessing his name is John.
I don't know what his name is. That's a good question.
John. I'm guessing the guy's name is John.
Oh, did you look up some?
I looked it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess we'll find out. So I tell him he better get going to get his phone. He tells me he needs to write the address down. And can I walk to his car with him so he can write it down?
What?
I'm like, oh my fucking God, whatever to get this idiot to leave. So I go to the car.
Courtney, what?
What are you doing, Courtney?
What if?
It's a close call.
Yes.
She wrote the email, so clearly she made it out of the situation. So I go to the car. At this point, an older coworker of mine is... I thought that was like... I thought that was clever, more clever before I said it. Yes, she wrote the email, so she's alive, clearly. So she walks out to the car with this person. At this point, an older coworker of mine is hearing this and is like, oh, I'll come too. So we're good. Very good. So we're by his car. He's rummaging in the front for paper. And she said, I'm nosy, people, okay?
Yep.
I'm looking in the back seat. I see rope, like painter's tape, and like garbage bags, but not black garbage bags. Almost like potato bags, like the ones with like the net, like the netted ones.
The one you play the jumping game in.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Oh my God, a burlap sack. So yeah, like the one you played. Yeah, burlap sack. You do a potato races in.
Why do you have these?
Yeah, why do you have the? I'm not asking him. I'm not gonna ask that question. These are my tools. It's my tools. Starts freaking out.
Yeah,
it's my tools. She said, like the girls were buried in. So I guess the victims of the Gilgo serial killer were buried in burlap sacks. Maybe is what she's saying. She goes. So I'm like, fuck this. My coworker writes down the address and get the fuck back inside. To this day, we always tell people we should have gone to the cops because we are assured that was him, Courtney.
She don't remember what he looked. You don't remember what he looked like?
I'm sure she blocked that out of her mind. Now, again, Courtney, I just need to reiterate that hurt. This might be some of the small. Can you please back me up, friend?
I didn't see
how small the phone is. It's so small, man.
Turn around. Let me see. You get lost in that easy.
Man, you look at it the wrong way. It just looks like a bunch of white blocks. Like it almost doesn't look like English, man. So thank you for submitting. But man, that tale was one of the harder ones to get through, and not because of the content, because it just was hard to see.
I was wondering. I'm just asking because, like, I think that was somebody charged for it, right?
Uh huh.
So I want to know if I guess she doesn't remember what he looked like. Because you can look it up and see, like, oh, yeah, that was him.
That was the guy that came in.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the guy that was charged for it
wasn't
the guy. We'll never know. Or maybe that guy that came in, just another weird serial killer that lived in the area.
Yeah.
Some other guy that did other crimes. Some other beach. Yeah, some other guys.
Other beaches in New York, right?
Giuseppe Beach, Long Island.
Yeah.
You know, Pasta Fajul Beach. So this last email is from Lori W. Shout out to Lori W.
Okay.
Longtime listener. Super dope person.
Thank you for the other story, though. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you to Courtney. Courtney. The story was awesome.
Yeah.
The font is just bananas.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's crazy. It's so small. And maybe that's my laptop. Maybe all the email. But I don't remember Yammy's being that small. You know what? Yammy's, it's not that it's bigger. it's white. The background's white with black lettering. I don't know. Maybe I have some kind of color thing. The black background with white letters is fucking me up. Anyway, this email is from Lori. Lori, the title is Tales from the Hood.
Okay.
It says, hey, Alvin and Fran, I hope you're doing well. I love your podcast, and you two give me hope for the younger generation. With that's in quotes. So thank you. I appreciate it. We are still just young babes trying to learn every day.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing other people's stories. Here are a few of mine. Use whichever ones you feel appropriate and edit however you see fit. I am. Lori, I'm going to let you know now. I'm going to pick one of these stories. There are several of them, and I'm sure they're all great. I'm just going to pick one. And the one I choose to pick is My Brush with Greatness. It's very well written. It's titles to each story, and they're all broken up.
Yeah.
She put a lot of work and effort into this email. Maybe we'll come back on another day and we'll pick another Lori story the next. Another Lori story.
Yeah.
It might be a second.
You didn't catch what I said, though, but go ahead.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
Okay.
Fine. I said she had a brush with greatness. I said, well, she ran into me.
Did you meet her?
No.
Oh, okay. It's like, I didn't know about this. Okay. Cool. So the story goes as such. Back in 1994, I was working in Los Angeles County.
Okay.
It was my first professional job as an audiologist. Audiologist.
What is that?
I test hearing.
That makes sense.
I test hearing and work with people with hearing loss.
Gotcha.
I never knew that was a thing. I just
is that
an
the
ear doctor? I just thought that was
I do have a question.
I can't answer it, but I'm sure put it out there and somebody will give you the answer.
She works with people that have hearing loss?
Yes.
Oh, then never mind. That doesn't never mind.
Here's a question I have. What is the doctor looking for when they put the little magnifying glass in your ear and it goes all deep in your ear and then they can look in it? Are they looking to see if your eardrum is intact? Do you know that thing?
No, I don't.
You know the thing was like it like goes in your ear and then they can look in like when they're doing a checkup.
Oh yeah.
Like what are they looking for?
Wax?
Wax? Make
sure it's clean? I don't know. I do have a question. There's a test that they do on babies, newborn babies.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they're born, it's a hearing test.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanted to know how do they know if the baby has great hearing? Newborn babies can't raise their hand, but I was like, how do they know what is it? I would love to know if she knows the test I'm talking about, but they do a hearing test on newborn babies.
Oh, they do a hearing test.
They do a hearing test to make sure the babies can hear.
Like, looking for?
Yeah, but I don't know if it's eye movement, probably
reaction.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I have a question. Where do babies come from? get back to us on that and let us know.
Where does baby's ears come? How does that work?
Yeah, like what's in a baby's ear?
Yeah.
If you're an audiologist, like is a baby's ear the same? Is it all the same stuff always, or do ears the stuff in the ear get bigger?
They got baby drums.
Baby drums. Yeah. Back to the story. So Lori is an audiologist. And she says, I had been working at this place in 1994. She had been working there for about a few months.
Okay, I was three.
In 1994?
Yeah.
Yes, I was two. We are the younger generation, clearly, because she was working at a fucking medical facility. I was a baby. I was literally a baby. My supervisor was mostly an ass, but I didn't think much of it when he told me the name of my next patient. It was a fairly common name. He also told me he would be accompanied by two heavily armed officers. We had a contract with some of the jails and prisons in the area, so this wasn't terribly unusual.
Okay.
The three of them were already in the soundproof booth when I walked into the office. The inmate/patient seated in a chair and the two officers on either side of him with rifles out.
What?
I don't know anything at all about guns, but I assume they were rifles. They had long barrels. As soon as I saw the seated patient, I just went numb. Richard Ramirez.
No.
The Night Stalker. Oh, my God. And that guy's fucking scary looking. His teeth are all filed down and gone and fucking curly
hair.
Curly
hair and shit.
Yeah. And his acne and his sharp face. He looks like a vampire.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. I was terrorized by the idea of this guy when I was a teenager living in Southern California, and he was torturing and killing people. And now, here he was, 2 feet away from me.
Why does he need a hearing test?
I got to give you a checkup before they process you. I don't know.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, that's what I would think. They're sitting in the death row. You're going to see if he has a fucking...
He'll lose his hearing anyway.
Chicken pox. Who gives a shit? Although he was in prison in San Quentin in the Bay Area. Yay, area! He would occasionally have to come to L.A. for legal stuff. He claimed that while he was in prison down south, he was attacked by another inmate. And since then, he couldn't hear well. That's what brought him to see us. I took a quick history, then made a move toward him to look in his ears.
You touched them?
Touched his ears, bro. You got to get up in there. Got to get up in them ears. The deputy stepped between us and said, "Don't approach the prisoner."
Mm.
I explained that I would need to look in his ears, and then I would need to put earphones on him to test his hearing. The officer said to Ramirez, "Make one move," and gestured slightly with his rifle. He did not make one move. I can't imagine how I saw anything in his ears since my hands were shaking so badly.
Imagine how...
being that close to a guy.
Being
that
close, but imagine how much of a threat that he is, where it's like, you better not move a nerve.
Well, this guy's,
blow your fucking...
Yes. I treat him like fucking Michael Myers. I'll fucking kill your evil ass right here. You move,
man.
You move wrong the wrong way, I will end you. That's a fucking threat and a half right there.
Shit.
She's terrified. Lori's terrified. Shout out to Lori also, just fucking being a trooper, doing your job. Because I probably would have been like, man, you know something? I'm sick. I think some tuna I had did not agree with me. I don't think I'm going to be able to perform this procedure.
Just shit on myself. Just like,
I don't know if I do all that, but you know, just fucking really commit to it, huh?
Terrified.
Just
man.
Fucking let it go.
He's
in
like,
the
budge. Yeah, you just like,
rip one. I got to go. I sharted. But Lori did not shart. She fucking held her. She fucking held her stuff intact, and she got through it.
Wow.
Somehow she's even said, somehow I got through the hearing test without shit in my pants.
That would have been alcohol mustard.
His hearing was normal, by the way.
Unfortunately. Shit.
I made it through the hearing test. I can't say the same about my pants. Thankfully, I made it through the hearing test with my throat intact. My pants are another story. So his hearing was normal, by the way. I guess he just wanted a break from the facility.
No, he was trying to make a move.
He was about to fucking. He was gonna fucking.
That was an escape.
He probably had a piece of glass like under his skin or something like that. And when he saw how serious that guy was, he was like, "I'm not gonna find
this
a window. I'm not gonna find a window for this to make this move." He didn't just want to break. He wanted to break free. He wanted to break loose. Yeah, no, you had a close call,
man.
That's what you had as a close call. But she said, I guess he just wanted to break from the facility. After they left, I walked into my supervisor's office with a "what the hell" look on my face. He thought the whole thing was hilarious and laughed at me. I mentioned he was a dick, right? Yeah, so funny. You were like face to face with a guy who kills women. Like, it was fucking, man, look, you should have seen the look on your face. You looked so silly when I did that to you with that prank. Yeah, great prank, man.
Wow.
I've met no other serial killers since then. Thank God. As I said, there's a few more stories on here, Lori. That was fantastic. Yeah. So I'm going to read the last one, actually, as well, because that was a great story.
Yeah, but I mean, like, she says she hasn't met any serial killers since then, but I mean, like, he's like top
one
of, 10.
Yeah, I mean, you met the one. You know, it's like,
my goodness.
Yeah, you don't need to meet any other ones. You met one of the guys.
He probably looked his soul just dead inside and just,
man, terrifying. He is one of the scariest people I think I've ever seen. He's so scary looking. He really looks like he's not a human being. So this story is titled "Last One." I promise. Keep in mind, there's like four in this email. So
okay,
but this is the second one.
All right,
"Last One." I promise. In 1995, I moved from Southern California up to the Bay Area. Yay, area. Up to the Bay Area and got involved with a literacy program. We were trained to teach adults to read. Upon completing the training, there were four programs we could go into. One being the jail system. They really needed tutors in the jails, and to me it made sense. This was a jail, not a prison. Most people there were nonviolent offenders and were serving time for drugs/DUI offenses and burglaries. It also made sense to me that if a person could read, they would have infinitely more job opportunities available to them upon their release, so then they wouldn't return to a life of crime. So I signed up for this prison program. I did not have any negative experiences there, and I would volunteer twice a week for 5 years until I moved out of the area. I was a little intimidated by the situation with the first guy I worked with, as it was just the two of us in a room with a large glass window. The deputy showed me where the panic button was and said, if you hit that, we'll try to get there as soon as possible. Yeah, but she said, not very reassuring. I was about to say, yeah, that's, you know, hey, man, you hit that and we'll, you know, we'll get in there. We'll get in there as soon as we'll get in there. That's, we'll get in there the best we can. It's like, thank you. But the guy I was tutoring was soon moved to an area with a lower level of security, and all the tutors and the inmates met in a large library. It was much more comfortable, and I spent the rest of the time tutoring there. I really enjoyed working with those men. They were not required to participate in the program, so those who were there wanted to be there. After I moved to New Mexico, where I live now, I inquired if they had any such programs, but unfortunately they did not. There's my PSA. See if your community has a literacy program, and maybe you'll enjoy working in the jail system too. Thanks, guys. You're awesome. Lori.
Thanks.
Thanks, Lori. And that was a nice little, almost like a good vibes type of thing. Yeah. So that was a really cool little thing, especially coming off the Richard Ramirez thing. Yeah, that was crazy.
I want to know, how is life in New Mexico? How that?
I would assume it's very like deserty and a lot of like breakfast burritos. I bet it's kind of the same as Austin, like a big Austin is what I picture of New Mexico. And a lot of stores that sell like handmade art. That's what I picture of New Mexico. Okay. Lori, reach out to us. Let us know what New Mexico is like. Anyway, yeah, no, this was a mini-sode, man. Yeah. This was a nice little quick little brief little thing. And this is something to give you guys while I'm in Pelly.
Yeah. People, just send them in.
Yeah, affirmativemurder@gmail.com. Whatever stories you have, the tales from your hood, please let us know. Hit us up. And, you know, we're glad to do more of these. We're going to be doing more of these. Like I said, they're a Patreon type of thing. But we'll be releasing some of them from time to time. So the more we get, the more you guys get to get sampled out and put out there for you guys who aren't on the Patreon. Before we get out of here, I just want to say, bonjour, je m'appelle Alvin. Enchanté. It's one of the things I learned. So hopefully I'm out there, you know, using that to meet people and have a good time and have a Parisian experience.
Hello, what?
It's a, hello, my name is Alvin.
Why are you saying it like that?
That's how I'm going to be speaking when I'm there.
Yeah, but you're not going to say it in English.
But I'm going to say it in French and English. No, I'm going to speak, when I speak English, I'm going to say it in French, the two.
I know.
So I'm going to go, hello, my name is Alvin.
Yeah, but you don't have to
nice
say
to
it to
meet
me
you.
In English with the accent.
You asked me what it meant. That's what I'm telling you. That's
yeah, but you
means.
Don't have to do it in accent.
I do, because it's French. It's the French. You asked me to translate right, it, so I'm going to translate it. Hello. Hello. My name is Alvin. Nice to meet you. Okay. That's what enchanté means. Nice to meet you.
All right.
So yeah, you know, just got a couple. No big deal. Got a couple places. Got a couple phrases like that. You know, just a couple get me by. And So this is a mini show for you guys, just to give you guys something while we're on a little bit of a break. And we'll catch you guys on a full episode next week.
Deuces.